And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This feast today is that of the Ascension of our Lord. And it is now today 40 days since the resurrection, the fullness of time, as it were, from his resurrection until his departure has been fulfilled. And our Lord indeed could not stay on this earth, because his resurrection is a resurrection to immortality. And everything about this earth is something to do with mortality, with time, with something that will end. But with his resurrection to immortality, it was no longer possible for him to suffer. Death itself was no longer possible to him. And that's why, even though he kept his five wounds after his resurrection, everything about our Lord from the resurrection onwards is about life. Even now, his physical body is in heaven, with his precious blood coursing throughout the members, his sacred heart beating, and he is very much, and in all reality, alive. But there are two lessons for us to draw, to gather from this feast of the Ascension. The very first one is that we are made for heaven. And the second is that we must desire to go to heaven. We should all know what is the standard first question in the Catechism. Why did God make me? And the answer, as we should know, God made me in order to know him, love him, and serve him in this life, in order to be happy with him in the next. And so if we are convinced that we have that goal, that that's the reason that we exist, is to get to heaven, if we were convinced of that reality, then we would never commit a single sin, not even a venial sin, because that could hinder us. It could trip us up in trying to get to heaven. Nothing could stop us. Nothing could thwart us if we were really and truly convinced of why God made us. Now, certainly, no one can get to heaven without the Catholic faith, because faith is necessary in order to have supernatural charity. We cannot love what we don't know. And since we know God through the faith, we can't love him unless we first have that faith. And charity, supernatural charity, is necessary for salvation. The reason someone saves their soul is because charity is in it at the time that that soul separates from their body. When we speak about someone being in the state of grace, we mean that they are in the state of friendship with God, that they have God living inside their soul. Now, the map on how we are to get to our goal of heaven has been given to us. And that map is the practice of a Catholic life, informed by the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, and all of the moral virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude. And all of that energized, if we can speak this way, by the gifts of the Holy Ghost, which are yours for the taking. So long as you are in the state of grace, you have full head-on access to the gifts of the Holy Ghost, as well as these other virtues. And all of this in holding to the faith revealed by Almighty God and obeying his commandments. That's why our Lord himself says in the Gospels, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Not, if you love me, it's okay to not do what I say, to not do what I command you to do, and I will still forgive you regardless. And that's why we must never approach getting to heaven from the point of view of merely avoiding hell. Too many, unfortunately, think this way. Sometimes you'll hear them say that in conversation. If I can only make it into purgatory, I'm all right with that. It's like saying, as long as I don't get caught, I'm all right with doing wrong things. As long as I don't get caught for them. If we are merely concerned with avoiding hell, then we are really selling ourselves short. I give you an image to help illustrate that. If we are meant to save our souls and ascend to heaven, there's two ways you can go about doing that. One of them is indeed to look at hell and contemplate its ugliness and its horrors. And you see how it is not something desirable, something you, in fact, you want to avoid. And if we want to avoid it, we are going to ascend a ladder, but we're doing it backwards. We're climbing the ladder backwards. Because we're so focused on avoiding the punishment of hell, and we keep our focus on hell and its utter misery, and we're climbing that ladder, we're walking away from it, we're moving away from it, but we're doing it backwards. And if we keep that approach, if you keep climbing the ladder backwards, you may ascend for a time with no difficulties. But as you move away from hell, you lose its force. It doesn't have the same effect because it's further and further away from being fresh or being close to your consideration. And because you're no longer so close to it, you don't worry about it so much. And you start losing your footing. You start becoming careless in where you put your hands and feet as you climb that ladder backwards. Because the further that we are away from danger, the less influence it has on us. And we become careless. And we can lose our footing and we can fall. Very seriously. Just as in the natural order, you climb a ladder backwards and you fall a good 10 to 12 feet to the ground, you could hurt yourself quite seriously. Why would it be any less of a risk for our soul? But if our way of climbing the ladder is to turn around and to look upwards, where we're trying to go. That's the whole idea, the whole concept behind using a ladder. You're trying to get closer to something that is above you. You don't use a ladder to climb down. You don't put the ladder upside down. That would be foolish. But if we turn our glance, our gaze upwards towards heaven, which is our goal, so we're trying to get to, then we ascend the ladder in the most normal way possible. Because that's what we're made to do with the ladder, is to go upwards. And likewise, that's what we're made to go to, is heaven. We advance towards that which we are desiring. And we are drawn to it because we desire to possess it. But we forget that all too often, don't we? We prefer to keep things as they are. We think that we have everything that we need in this life. We have our phone, or we have our nice car, we have our good job, we have our nice house. And so we prefer to keep things comfortable. And so God, in His divine providence, has to mix into this life some sorrow, some tragedy, some disappointment. Because the reality is that all happiness, even legitimate happiness on this earth, is only temporary, because this life will end. At some point, the happiness and the joy that we experience from legitimate things, even, will fade. And it must be this way. Because if it was not so, and the happiness of this life continued without end, we would lose sight of our goal. If this life did not have some sorrow mixed into it, we would never want to go to heaven. Why would we want to flee a place where there is no sorrow? And so God leaves sorrow in this life in order to remind us that this earth is not our home, not our true home, at least. And if we lose sight of our goal, that we are made for heaven, then we can get caught up like a bug in a spider's web in an excessive occupation with the things of this world. Having so many things or so many honors, which at the end of our life will not matter. That old saying, you can't take it with you. No matter how many cars you have, no matter how much money you have, how many houses you have, how many honorary titles you have, you cannot take those with you. Everything of this earth is transitory. It is passing away. Every day you get a little older. Every day your body becomes a little less alive than it was the day before. That is why St. Thomas says the ideal age is 33. Not only because that's the age that our Lord died at, but it's because now you've reached the fullness of maturity and before your body starts to decay. But every day that passes, your body decays a little more. No matter how well you may eat, how much organic food you may want, your body will grow old and die. There is no escaping that. And no matter how well you eat, or how well you exercise, or anything else, none of those will forestall your judgment. It is important to remember, therefore, it is not so much how long you live, but how well you live. And that should be the focus of our feast day today. That should be the focus for us on this Ascension Day, is whether or not we are on our way to heaven. We have a goal to reach, and this day is the reminder to every one of us what our Lord says: lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. He doesn't say treasures in this life. And if we live for the things of this earth, we will always be disappointed. Whether it's through your friends, or your family, your spouse, your job, whatever it is, you will always be disappointed if you live for the things of this earth. Why? Because they cannot satisfy the burning desire within the human soul for the good. That is why we are always looking for the next thing. No matter how many people you're surrounded by, or how many possessions you acquire, or how much pleasure you enjoy, there will always be something missing. And you will never be truly happy if you live on that level alone. That's why St. Augustine has that famous phrase from his Confessions: we are made for thee, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. And so it is important for us to consider something of what is the joy of heaven. What is the big deal some may say, about getting to heaven. And it's true that in even this life, we cannot have a complete understanding of what heaven is like. What is the joy of heaven? But we can know for certain that everything that we love, everything that we find lovable, everything that is good in this life is from God. And if we get to heaven, we will understand that perfectly. We will see, we will understand, we will have that aha moment. And we understand. Anything that we love in this life is only a share. It's a participation in God. It's a reflection of God. Any good that we experience or we observe is something reflecting of Him. And so we can see from that, if there is such good to be loved in this life, what must heaven be like if it's perfect? If this is only the shadow, a very poor representation of the sharing of good that is God, what must heaven be like? Because in heaven, God Himself is the object of all of our love and for all eternity. And if we go to heaven, there is absolutely nothing or no one else that we can want. Because in heaven we will have the source of all good. Indeed, goodness itself, Himself. In heaven you will see God face to face, and you will see in Him all that is lovable. Everything that can be loved you will see and will love in God in heaven. And there you will be perfectly and infinitely satisfied, absolutely content, because there's nothing better, there is nothing more lovable, and there is nothing more desirable than God. Following our Lord into heaven at her bodily assumption that we celebrate in August is His mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the Queen of Heaven. All this time since Easter, the Church has referred to her as the Regina Caeli. And she also wants us to go to heaven. And she knows that we have a lot of obstacles, a lot of difficulties that we face in this life that can get us off track. And so in order to help us in staying on track to get to heaven, she's given us two very powerful tools, very powerful weapons. She's given us her rosary, and she's given us her brown scapular. Two great sacramentals that have been approved and endorsed by the Church and the popes for centuries. So let us go to our mother, whom we honor in this month of May. With these tools that she's given us, and ask her intercession, asking her help in this fight that we have. And let us ask her for that great grace of a desire for heaven, and a great desire for heaven in order to be with her and her Son for all eternity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.